that I have been a Christian since 1994. How many years is that, anyone? Yeah, that many years. And when I first became a Christian, I was 18 years old. Now, I had friends. I had really great friends, in fact. And I had a family who loved me. But there was something that when I came to the church and I gave my life to Jesus and made him Lord of my life and experienced his salvation, there was something that I couldn't explain at the time that changed dramatically. Let me describe to you my first experience as I walked through the door of Corby Baptist Church. My friend, who was also my next door neighbor, he was also in a band with me. He invited me to church and I came with him, but he had things to do because he was playing in the worship team that day. So I walked through the door and there was a little old lady from Wales and her name was Lottie. And she pretty much threw her arms around me. And she was about this tall. She looked like her hair had been cut using a bowl. And she was just the sweetest, most godly woman. And she said, "Oh, hello, Cariad, come and sit with me." And so she took me over to her seat. And she took all of these toffees out of her bag, which looked like they'd been in there for a few years. And I just felt loved. I was an 18-year-old guy, never really hung about with pensioners before. But this lady made me feel special. And I used to go and visit her in a home. And we used to do magic eye puzzles together. And she used to cook meals for me and different things. And then I joined the youth group a little while later when I had actually become a Christian. And I remember just being part of this group of people and thinking, this is bizarre. I've only just met most of these people, but they feel more like family than most of my other friends. In fact, they feel more like family than some of my extended family. And I couldn't really understand what was going on until I understood that as a believer in Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit in me and these other people being believers in Christ with the Holy Spirit in them, that we had the same Father, therefore we were brothers and sisters. And there was a closeness that I experienced with this group of people that I'd never experienced in my life before. And there was an openness and a transparency and a sharing of life that I had never experienced in the whole of my life up until that point. I'm glad to say since then I've experienced that level and depth of relationship in wonderful ways in the churches that I've been part of. And Hope Church is no different. Hope Church began as a small group meeting in somebody's front room. And actually the relationships that were developed at the time, most of the people are still around. And those relationships have deepened. And many of those people have become very, very dear friends to me. But what happened in the early days of Hope Church was that we had a group of people, only small in number initially, that grew. And the Lord added to our number too, and we were really blessed that many other people joined Hope Church over the years. And the church grew, and we outgrew the primary school that we were in, and then we moved into Kingswood School, and again we grew some more. And what was being fed back to me was, Damien, it's really strange, because in the early days we knew everybody, but now I don't know everybody in the room. And I wonder if you could just take a moment to look around you now. Do you know, or how many people do you know in the room? Are there people whose faces you don't even recognize in the room? Well, that's become the normal, really, for Hope Church. But we also believe that Corby, which is a town of 60,000 people, many of whom don't know Jesus, is a town that God loves passionately. And our prayer is that not just 200 or 300 or 500 people will get to know him, but thousands upon thousands of people will get to know him. And if that is the case, then the churches of Corby will become even bigger than they are now. Hope Church will grow in size, and it may be that you know even less people when we gather together like this on Sunday. So how do we be church in the New Testament sense when we could feel very easily just like a face in the crowd? Well, we're going to look at the passage in a moment that we just read, but I'm just going to do a little overview of the book of Acts. Watch this. Acts 1. When the believers were gathered together in the upper room before the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, there were how many people in the upper room? 120. Somebody took the time to count. There were 120 believers in the upper room. Then the Holy Spirit was poured out. Peter and the disciples spilled out into the streets. Peter preached the first gospel message. And how many people were added to their number that day? 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow. So this was church growth in like we've never, like nobody had ever seen it before. And then Acts 2:47, it says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So if we were to say that maybe only one, I'm sure there were more, but only one person was added to their number daily, how many people would that be over the course of a year? So that's 365 additional people plus however many more. Then Acts 4 verse 4, it says the number of men grew to 5,000. Wow, so that's 5,000 plus women and children. So we're talking thousands upon thousands of people who had joined this New Testament church in Jerusalem. And then Acts 5 verse 14, it says more and more people believed. And actually the word that that's translated from is the word that we get the English word multitudes from. So what is a multitude? Multitude is a number you can't really count. So after a while, the church grew to such a size in Jerusalem that they just couldn't count the numbers of people who were part of the church. Acts 5 verse 28 says, so this is somebody's accusation against the church, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Acts 6 verse 1 says, the number of disciples rapidly multiplied. Acts 6 verse 7 says, the number of believers increased rapidly. Acts 20:21-20 said, thousands have become Christians, have become believers. And so here you see in Jerusalem, a small group of people, probably most of them knew each other, they probably visited each other in their homes, they probably shared their lives together, probably they all had stories going back a few years of lives, of experiences together in friendship, in fellowship. But then there was an explosion of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. The gospel went forth, there were signs and wonders, there was awe and wonder as the apostles performed all of these miracles in their midst. And thousands, literally thousands of people were added to the number of the Jerusalem church. Now, how did they do church in that context? Well, the answers are in the passage that we've just read. Let me just read to you a part of that again. It says in verse 46 that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now, the temple was where the Jews came to worship God. It's where the sacrifices were given. But around the temple, which included the holy place and the most holy place, and the altar on which the sacrifices were made, and the progressive courts until you got to the court of the Gentiles, there were a number of different courts. And it says, in the courts of the temple, the believers, the Christians, gathered for fellowship. So it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, but they also broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So there was the corporate gathering all together where the church gathered around the preached word and the teaching of the apostles. But there was also the smaller expression of church where they gathered in each other's homes. And here today, we are gathered corporately as Hope Church. There may be others who aren't able to be here today, and there may be others who would call Hope Church their home, but they aren't able to be here every single Sunday. But Hope Church gather on a Sunday like this. This is our corporate expression of worship. But you can't know people. And you can't be known by people when you're just a face in a crowd. We can enjoy the teaching from the scriptures. We can enjoy worship together. And there's a real corporate dynamic when we gather together and worship God like this. But if you truly want to be known and you want to know people deeply, if you want to go deeper into the Word of God, if you want to share your lives together in a way that will spur, where we can spur one another on to love and good deeds, if we are serious about walking in fellowship with each other as brothers and sisters, so that we might use our spiritual gifts to build each other up in love, then the best setting for that isn't a gathering like this on a Sunday, but smaller gatherings of Christians. In Hope Church, we call them life groups. I want you to, if you're brave enough to do so, just raise your hand if you are already part of a life group in Hope Church. That's wonderful. And in a moment, I'm going to invite three people from those life groups to come and join me on the sofa. That's why this sofa was here. If you'd have seen me driving down the road with a sofa on top of my car this morning, you'd have found that amusing. But we talk, you know, over this, we've had a prayer month, 21 days of prayer. We called it the prayer siege. And I went to some of those gatherings, and we were praying for Hope Church, and we were praying that people would go deeper in their faith and that there would be breakthrough in people's lives. And we kept praying for unity. We prayed for unity for Hope Church, that our hearts would be united together so that God would be pleased to visit us and work through us. But let me just say this. This is a statement I want to make to everybody in the room today. In order to have unity, we must have community. In order to have unity, we must have community. Because otherwise, what we do here on a Sunday is just attending an event. Are we coming to church, or are we being church? And church is so much more than the building we gather in. It's, in fact, church was never meant to be described as a building. Church is shared lives. And let me just remind you of some of the words recorded in this passage in Acts. It says that they devoted themselves. What is devotion? What does devotion mean? What does it mean to be devoted to something? It means to be committed. It means that there's a heart commitment to one another and to the things that they might be devoted to. So it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to sitting under the word of God. It says that they devoted themselves to fellowship, to one another, to the breaking of bread. It says that they devoted themselves to prayer. It says that everyone was filled with awe and wonder, and signs and wonders were performed by the apostles. Listen to this. Does this make your heart long for community? It says, all the believers were together. Could you say together that, sorry, can you say that you feel that you are together with all of the believers in Hope Church? All of the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions when they saw that there were needs in the fellowship. They sold their fields and they sold buildings and they sold their possessions, and they gave the money that they got from those sales to people who were poor so that nobody in the fellowship had needs. That's radical devotion. That's the kind of relationship where it's not just a superficial, yeah, it's lovely to meet you, and what's your name again? It's a kind of a deeper, spiritual, heart-to-heart connection where the Holy Spirit's at the center. It says they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So they were devoted to one another. They were together. They had everything in common. They shared their possessions. They met each other's needs. There was a deep, heartfelt, heart-to-heart, Holy Spirit brought about connection in the church. People loved each other deeply. There's some scriptures that you will have read which just really challenged me. And there are two in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1 verse 22 says, love each other deeply from the heart. Can you say that after me? Love each other deeply from the heart. And he uses the same phrase again a little bit later in 1 Peter 4 verse 8. He says, listen, above all else, love each other deeply. Can you say that after me? Above all else, love each other deeply. And then in Romans 12 verse 10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And so as a church, we very much value the coming together like this on a Sunday. We very much value the corporate expression of church. We believe that church should be a come and see environment, but also a go and tell dynamic as well, where we leave the place where we gather like this and we take the good news to the people of our town and those that God has connected us with. And so I want you to hear now from people who are part of life groups in Hope Church. And I've asked three questions that they're going to attempt to answer. So would you give them a bit of encouragement as they come to the front now? Come in, come in. Make yourself comfortable. Welcome, welcome. So good to see you. Yeah, make yourself, put your feet up. There you go. Okay, so this is Laura, this is Sam, and this is Tim, and they have agreed to just share a little bit of their experiences of life groups in Hope Church. So the first question that I would like to ask you is, what is your favorite thing about being part of a life group? And if you keep your answers fairly brief, that would be great.
I think for me, as it says in the Bible, iron sharpens iron. And I think personally, we encourage each other, and that's an encouragement for me. So, yeah.
Is the sense of belongingness, the openness, and we seem to get on so well in the men's life, don't we?
Love. I have been more loved there than possibly anywhere else. And so encouraged, and they all know who they are, and they are all wonderful. But I don't know how people can function just coming on a Sunday. I've never been able to, so yeah.
Good, and second question, how have you grown as a Christian by being part of a life group?
When I used to be in business, I used to enjoy board meetings because different people gave different input, different ideas, and you think, well, I'd have never thought of that myself. And when we're in the life group, what tends to happen is people bring their different ideas where God's spoken to them. And my desire in life is to be fed more by God. So that's a great thing for me.
I think one thing that has challenged me most is during men's life, we share each other's stories, some successes, some failures, and some challenging things that are going on. And we learn to pray for each other and also encourage each other. And that has been quite helpful to me.
Grown, stretched, pulled, challenged, corrected, which is difficult. And it's all been in love, and it's all been based on the word. It's all been based on scripture. And I'm one of these that I'll go to anything. If Jesus is there and people are talking about Jesus, I want to be there. So they're really exciting for me. I thoroughly enjoy life groups. It's been central to my growth, to be honest with you, because I can't do just Sunday. I have to sit with other Christians because it's my husband isn't saved yet. So fellowship at home can be difficult, especially in the early days when it's please turn off that music or please turn off that. But to then share your experience of what's happened through the week and how God's been leading your life on with other people has been key to my growth, yeah.
Thank you. So as a businessman, you liked board meetings, well. Wow. That's great. How have you got maybe a story to tell of something that's happened in life group, maybe an anecdote that you can share, just so people know, get a flavour of what life groups are really like?
I mean, when it was asked about a funny story, apart from the biscuits go very quickly being guys, but it's not so much funny, but I think one thing, maybe it's interesting, but we have a prayer list, and what happens is we ask the guys to ask for anything in prayer, and then we pray about it, and then we pass it on during the week, and we also have a date next to it when God answers that prayer. So that's really encouraging to see how God's ticking off the dates. So that's good.
Hey, well, I have been thinking very hard about this one. And it so happened that I think something happened at work, and I wasn't bold enough, and I raised my hands up. I lied. And during the course of the day, I felt so bad that I didn't know what to do. So I came to life group and I shared with them that this is what has happened at work. And I wasn't bold enough and I lied about it. And Tim said, Sam, you got to go back and undo everything that you've done and tell the truth. And it so happened that just at the car park, God just helped me just get into touch with all these people that I lied to, and I was able to share the story. Okay, folks, yesterday what I said was a lie, and this was the truth, and I told them, and I felt so relieved. So thank you so much.
I can hear you all panicking now. I'm sorry, group leaders. I'm in two life groups. So I'm at Honiton Gardens with John and Sheila, and we have a naughty bench there. And it's perfectly imaginary. We haven't gone and stolen one from a gym anywhere. And because I was the naughty child to start with, it came out and I was sat on the bench. After a while, in a little bit of disobedience, I imaginarily carved my name in the bench because that was my spot for the month. there's too many stories actually to tell you. It's something you have to experience. It really is. I mean, they are phenomenal, and it's a place where you can be loved, and you are loved, and you are stretched. But the funny story is, it's like being at home. They're all part of what you are and who you are, and it becomes part of your life story. So they all know who they are. So I've been really well behaved today. Thank you.
Okay, so that hopefully will give you a little taste of what life group life is like. And we in Hope Church, really the core thing as a church is to reveal God's glory and to see disciples made. And when you become a Christian, the goal of your life isn't just that you become a church attender. It's not just that you become religious or Christianized. The goal of the Christian life is to reveal God's glory on the earth and for you to grow in maturity as a believer so that more and more the Lord can work in you and through you to reveal his nature to everybody else. And so we want people to grow in their gifting. We want people to grow in maturity as believers. We want disciples to be made. And really, a Sunday adds to that. There's something that can be done on a Sunday. You know, you can sit under the teaching of whoever's preaching on a Sunday morning. We can worship together. We might even minister to one another up to a point. But life groups are really a place where we can go deeper in the things of God in relationship to one another. And that's how God's designed it. I think community is in the heart of God. So if you think about the Trinity, even before God created a single thing, he existed in eternity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in community. Right at the heart of the Godhead is community. And because we are made in God's image, really community is something that we're designed to need. I went on sabbatical last year and I visited lots of churches in this country and in the United States. And I loved visiting the churches. But what I found myself doing, I became like, you know, a restaurant critic where I'd go in and I'd judge the food and I'd judge the decor and things. I was going and saying, oh, well, this was the worship was like this and the teaching was like this and the building was like this. But really, I didn't get to the heart of what those churches were like because I didn't meet any of the people and get to know them in a substantive way. And it's very easy to come on a Sunday and to make all sorts of assumptions about the people sitting all around you and to assume that they're doing all right in their walk with God when actually all of us struggle with something. All of us have the different issues going on in our lives, which really could become a stumbling block for us, could set us back in our walk with God. And if we try and go it alone, which many of us do, we will become stunted in our walk with God because we really need each other. God designed us to be a body where everybody brings something for the benefit of everybody else. And on a Sunday, there is this place is just pregnant with Holy Spirit potential to bring life to one another. Within you is the hope that somebody else needs. We saw Marvelous this morning who, when he was away at camp, was released in this gift of encouragement. And there are others in the room who have the same gift. But there are others in the room who have the gift of helps and the gift of administration. There are those who are prophetically gifted and evangelistically gifted and can teach the Bible and are pastoral in their gifting. And there's a diversity of gifts and they're given by the Holy Spirit sovereignly to his body, to us, to one another, so that we in love can use the gifts that he's given us to bless and to build up one another. And if you come on a Sunday and this is your only expression of church, if this is your only experience of church, you will get frustrated. You will not have the outlet that you perhaps desire for the gifts that God's put in you to be the person that God's created you to be in the body. There will be some outlets for who God's made you to be and for some of your gifting. But by far, the best environments for you to minister to one another are in smaller group settings where you all know one another and where you can love one another and go deeper in the Word of God, deeper in fellowship and serve one another using the giftings that you've got. Let me just tell you some of the things that we value as life groups. We want life groups to be a place to encounter God together. So we encourage each of our life groups to really set aside time to be in God's presence. There's in Exodus 33, when Moses was praying, he said, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us. Because how will people know that you're pleased with us, and how will we be any different from any of the other peoples on the earth if your presence doesn't go with us? And what sets us apart as a people, as a church, is that we enjoy God's presence, and God is delighted to presence himself amongst his people. So we set aside time where we can just be in God's presence, worship him, pray to him, give him adoration, love him and love on him. And as we do that, the presence of God often fills the rooms. I visited all of our life groups recently, and what blessed me the most was in every single one of these small group settings were hungry people who just loved God and loved his presence. And so if you really want to be a person who encounters God and encounters God's presence, then why don't you seek out one of these smaller group settings? We also want to be a place where we can be family together, where we can share our lives together. There are all sorts of ways that we can express love and devotion to one another. And some of the scriptures that we read in that passage in Acts 2 were really, really beautiful. That they were together. They had everything in common. They were known, and they could know other people better. But let me also say this. We care deeply about pastoral care in Hope Church. But we can't possibly know what's going on in every single one of your lives. But if you're in a small group, then people can know what's going on in your lives. You also can know what's going on in people's lives. And let me just ask you this question. Who is it that you are looking out for? Who are you looking out for? Which of your brothers and sisters do you have a vested interest in looking out for? Who is looking out for you? Do you sometimes feel like just a face in the crowd? Do you feel known? Do people know you? Do people know what makes you tick? Do they know what's in your heart? Do they know what you carry in God? Are you known? Do we want it to be a place where pastoral care can be given and received, where we care for one another and love each other deeply? We also want life groups to be a place where we can be equipped together. We care deeply about spiritual development. We want to become mature in the things of God. And so as we bring ourselves under God's word and all of our life groups study the word of God together, the question that we want people to ask is, how does this apply to my everyday walk with Jesus? How can I apply biblical principles to the situations I'm facing in my family, in my workplaces, with my finances, in relationships, when I lie to colleagues at work? How do I deal with those kind of things biblically? So we want to be equipped from the scriptures to live our lives for Jesus every day. But we also want life groups to be a place where we serve together. And we've mentioned it briefly. But life groups are a great place to step out in your gifting. You may sense a call of God on your life. I did when I was a young man. I first started to express what I believe to be a call of God on my life in the youth group that I was part of, where I would read something from the Bible and I'd think, wow, that's amazing, and just have an instinct to come and share that with the other young people in the group. And as I developed, I became a life group leader when I was in Birmingham, and that's where the pastor spotted the call of God on my life, and I became assistant pastor, and then today I have the great privilege of being one of the leaders of this church. But it began when I had the opportunity in a small group of people to express who God had made me to be. So we want people to be able to step out in gifts of hospitality and worship leading and Bible study and the gifts of helping others and administration and prophecy, bringing words of knowledge and words of wisdom, praying for the sick and laying hands, and to be trained in how to do that in a small group setting. So we have opportunities in our day-to-day lives and when we gather together corporately to do that. And then finally, we want them to be also a place where we reach out together. It might be, I don't know how many groups already do this, but it might be that groups could adopt a missionary or support somebody who is in ministry in different parts of the world. It might be that the groups could pray for their streets where the life groups are, or have socials that they invite friends who aren't Christians yet to come along to. It might be that you encourage one another and share stories about how you're living missionally in the whole of your week. Because we gather together on a Sunday for a couple of hours, and we might gather together midweek for a couple of hours, but all of the other hours in our week are also to be lived for Jesus and to share stories of how we're living for Jesus and living missionally. Let me just quickly move on. You might not know what groups exist in this church, so I want to introduce to you some of our life group leaders, and they're beginning to panic now because they think I'm going to invite them to the front. I'm not. But if you look up to the screen, Why don't you cheer the people that you see on the screen and honour them for what they give to the people who they lead? So this is Rachel and Sylvia. They lead the Ladies Life group that meets on a Tuesday. Why don't we just honour them? So this is currently our only daytime life group, but we're hoping to add more daytime life groups because we understand that there are shift dynamics with some of your workplaces. Next, on a Wednesday, we have David and Sheila. Let's honour David and Sheila as life group leaders. And they meet on Oakley Vale in the evening. Next, John and Sheila. They also meet on a Wednesday evening. They meet on the Exeter estate further across town. Next, now Cal and Wendy, this is a brand new group and this will be starting shortly, but they're not here today, but so what? Let's just give them a round of applause for being willing to lead. And this is actually a group over towards Market Harbour, and there's some people who have already joined this group, which is wonderful. If you live over that way, or even if you live in Corby and you'd like to travel over, you're more than welcome to join this group. You'd be there right at the beginning. Listen, some of these people have stepped forward to lead groups. It might be that you're sitting here this morning thinking, I could lead a life group. If you're thinking that, come and speak to me. The next group, Richard and Claudia. Richard and Claudia here. Let's honour them. This is a brand new group that will be meeting just off Oakley Vale in an area called Snatch Hill, I believe. And this will be on a Thursday evening. And then on to the next one. This is Tim. Tim leads the Men's Life Group, which meets on a Thursday evening in Beanfield, which is another area of Corby, on Thursday evenings. And then finally, Bonnie and Nikki. So it's another brand new life group. So there's opportunity for some of you to get involved in these life groups when they're just getting off the ground, and I would encourage you to do so. Bonnie and Nikkei have stepped forward to lead this life group, and they have a passion for Jesus as well. This meets in Hazel Lees, a bit further over from Beanfield, on Friday evenings, 7:30 to 9 p.m. So let's give all of them a really big round of applause, and thank God for some of the amazing leaders that we have in the church. Now, the application from this message, because every good message has application, doesn't it? The application from this message is, I want to give you an opportunity today to sign up to a group. And inside your update, if you have an update, if you could wave it aloft, that's your information pamphlet. There are other leaflets in there as well. But if you look inside, you'll find that there is a sign-up sheet for life groups. We've entitled, by the way, the series over the next few weeks, Better Together. And I truly believe with all of my heart that as a church we are better together. The spirit of the age is individualism and trying to do things on our own, but God has created us to live in community with one another. So the stewards have some extra forms and they also have pens. So if you would like a form or a pen, if you could just raise your hand in the air and we'll make sure we get one of those to you. But if you could just spend the next few moments just filling that form out. If you aren't able to join a life group, that's absolutely fine. But if you are able, I would encourage you, nay, implore you, to consider joining one of our life groups for your good and for the good of the people in the church who need what you bring. And as you fill out those forms, I just want to read to you a passage from an author whose book I read a few years ago, which really speaks into this kind of community that we're talking about today. So this is Bill Hybels, and he says, in the early 70s, I had an experience so powerful that it divided my life into before and after. I was a college student taking a required course in New Testament studies to complete my major. To my way of thinking, this class was guaranteed to be brain-numbingly boring, a required Bible class. It had flatliner written all over it. I was sure that the only challenge this class would offer me would be the challenge of trying to stay awake. As I staked out my usual claim to a back row seat and assumed a comfortable slouch, legs extended, arms folded, I had no idea that a spiritual ambush awaited me. Towards the end of the lecture, just when I thought it was time to pack up and leave, the professor, Dr. Gilbert Belezikin, decided he wasn't quite finished for the day. Closing his notes, he stepped out from behind the lectern. Then he bared his soul to a room full of unsuspecting 20-year-olds. Students, he said, there was once a community of believers who were so totally devoted to God that their life together was charged with the Spirit's power. In that band of Christ followers, believers loved each other with a radical kind of love. They took off their masks and they shared their lives with one another. They laughed and they cried and they prayed and they sang and they served together in authentic Christian fellowship. Those who had more shared freely with those who had less until socioeconomic barriers melted away. People related together in ways that bridged gender and racial chasms and celebrated cultural differences. Acts 2 tells us that this community of believers, this church, offered unbelievers a vision of life that was so beautiful it took their breath away. It was so bold, so creative, so dynamic that they couldn't resist it. And verse 47 tells us that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The doctor's unscripted words were as much a lament as they were a dream, a sad longing for the restoration of the first century church. I had never imagined a more compelling vision. In fact, that day, I didn't just see the vision, I was seized by it. And suddenly there were tears in my eyes and a response cord rising up in my soul. Where, I wondered, had that beauty gone? Why was that power not evidenced in the contemporary church? Would the Christian community ever see that potential realized again? And since that day, he says, I have been held hostage by the powerful picture of the Acts 2 dream painted in that college classroom. In the weeks and months that followed the lecture, I was haunted by questions. What if a true community of God could be established in the 21st century? What if what happened in Jerusalem could happen in Chicago or happen in Corby? Such a movement of God would transform this world and usher people into the next. I was a goner, completely captured by a single vision of the potential beauty of the local church. And in 1975, that vision led me and a handful of colleagues to start Willow Creek Community Church. Now, almost 30 years later, that vision still rivets my attention, sparks my passion, and calls forth the very best effort that I can give. Hallelujah. The ushers are going to collect in your forms. So if you've filled out one of those forms, I wonder if you could just wave it in the air and the ushers will come and collect your forms in. I'm just going to pray as we close. And just thank you for listening this morning. We've fitted a lot in to the service, and I know we've run slightly over time, but let me just pray and then we'll end things. Although the worship team will be coming back up to the front, this service will be finished as soon as I've prayed. And I would invite you, if you're able to stay behind and enjoy fellowship over tea and coffee. If you're a brand new, if you're a guest today, it's your first time with us, we have a special area that we'd like to invite you to come over to where you can receive a nice cup of coffee and chat to some very friendly people. You'll see a banner as you walk into the restaurant area. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for the church. Lord, I thank you that the church was your idea. Lord God, the church was your idea, Father, and you placed us all with all of our differences, with all of our foibles, Father, with all of our strange ways sometimes, Father. You placed us together and made us family. And Lord God, I thank you that today we get to express a corporate dynamic of that family. But Father, also, Lord God, we want to go deeper in our relationships with one another because we want to love one another deeply from the heart. Father, above all else, we want to love one another deeply. Help us, Father, to love each other like the passage that we read today describes the early church doing. Father, we want Hope Church to be a place of genuine biblical community. Father, where we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds, where we can, as iron, sharpen each other, Father, as iron sharpens iron. Father, where we can grow in our spiritual gifts and become mature in the things of God. Father, we pray all of these things because we know that you desire it and we're praying according to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.